meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
All right, so I have been waiting all week just so I can hear the clue again. Gordon Goldsborough, good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do, and I'm embarrassed.
Why? You were so good last week. All right, take it away.
Well, okay, so you asked me what the clue was for this week, and in the course of giving the clue, I used an accent that I have no claim on. I don't mean to embarrass or insult anyone, but I said that if you think of a classic movie line, the line is, "Please, sir, I want some more." Pretty much everybody will connect that with, of course, the movie adaptation of Charles Dickens's Oliver Twist. And of course, the title character was in an orphanage. He was an orphan. So I thought, let's talk about orphanages here in Manitoba.
First of all, someone's been practicing because that was even better than last week. Second of all, I'm mostly happy that for once I get the cultural reference that you're referring to. So win-win for everyone.
I'm just glad you don't insist that I do the entire episode in that accent because I just could not.
I was going to request that you do the whole thing in a British accent. But, you know, I can help you out with that part, so that's fine.
Okay, good.
All right, back to the subject. Have there been a lot of orphanages in Manitoba?
Well, you know, it's hard to determine because they were quite informal in the early days. There weren't a lot of records kept. So my tally of the number of orphanages in the early 20th century presently stands at 14, and all but four of them were in the immediate Winnipeg area.
And do we know who operated these 14 orphanages?
Well, from what I can tell, there were at least three groups who were involved in operating orphanages, and it kind of evolved chronologically. So, for example, the earliest orphanages were run mainly by religious denominations. Then later, more secular organizations became involved with orphan care, and eventually the children became the responsibility of the provincial government. So you see religions, then the secular organizations, and then finally governments over time. Now, we don't have time to talk about all the orphanages, so I've basically picked a few of the major ones to talk about here this morning.
Okay, so let's start with the religious orphanages, first of all. Which denominations were involved?
Well, the earliest orphanages in Manitoba that goes back basically to the mid-19th century were largely the domain of Roman Catholic nuns. You know, so for example, in St. Boniface, we had the Grey Nuns Convent, and it operated an orphanage that was known as Hospice Taché. And just to give you an idea of the size of it, I found a record of it in the 1911 census, and at that time, it said that they were housing 119 girls. It was only for girls, and they had 11 nuns that were looking after the children.
Was there a corresponding Catholic orphanage for boys then?
Well, there probably was, and I just haven't found records for it yet, but there was a major Catholic orphanage that was for both boys and girls that was called St. Joseph's. Initially, it was located right next door to the St. Mary's Cathedral in downtown Winnipeg, but in 1909, it moved to a site along Portage Avenue, quite remote at the time. Today, it's right opposite Polo Park. And again, the 1911 census indicates that it had 135 orphans under its care.
Were there any Catholic orphanages beyond Winnipeg?
Right. Well, just outside the borders in what we call St. Norbert, there was the Asile Richaud, the Richaud orphanage, and it was operated starting in 1904 by what were called the Sisters of Mercy. Basically, they were the religious order that also operated the Misericordia Hospital. North of Winnipeg, at Arburg, we had the Benedictine Orphanage. It was operated by the Sisters of the Order of St. Benedict, hence the name, the Benedictine Orphanage. It opened in 1915. I've found a few other references to Catholic orphanages. So, for example, I was told that there was one near Mackinac in western Manitoba. And I also came across references to plans to build a Catholic orphanage at Brandon on the site that later became St. Michael's Academy. But, you know, I couldn't find any evidence that that orphanage was actually built. So I don't know for sure.
What about other kind of religious-based orphanages?
Well, one of the bigger ones, it was, again, back here in Winnipeg, was the Jewish Orphanage of Western Canada. It opened in 1920, and the idea was to provide accommodation for 150 children. Pretty big facility. You know, it had a large building. It had a 5-acre grounds. On the grounds, there was a skating rink, a playground. Well, and I guess because they tried to be as self-sufficient as they could, they had a 2-acre garden. And the idea was that it served Jewish communities all across the West, from basically from Western Ontario right through to British Columbia. And in fact, it wasn't even just for orphans. What I came across was references to rural parents that wanted to send their children into schools in Winnipeg would send them to the orphanage to be boarded while they were attending schools.
You mentioned secular organizations as well, who were kind of stewarded orphanages. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the Bernardo Home for Boys here in Western Manitoba. Can you tell us about some others?
Right. You know, so one of the earliest non-religious orphanages was what was called the Children's Home of Winnipeg. You know, it opened in 1884. So again, pretty early. By the 1920s, it had anywhere from 160 to 180 children in its care. Basically, children starting with as young as 6 months old. In the case of boys, all the way up to 9 years old. Girls up to 12 years old. So there was that one. In Brandon, there was a small facility called the Maples in what is today the Daly House Museum. But you know, one of the more interesting ones, I think, was an orphanage called the Home of the Friendless. You know, it's actually controversial in several ways.
How so?
Well, the Home of the Friendless was established in 1900 by a woman from Kansas named Laura Crouch. And she actually had one of the largest private orphanages in Manitoba. It had more than 250 children in its care. Now, unlike other secular institutions that depended basically on public appeals to raise money for their operations, there wasn't a lot of, you know, standard funding from government, for example. Mrs. Crouch claimed to rely solely on the power of prayer. She would basically pray for money and it would be forthcoming. Whether that was worked or not, we don't know, but she did enjoy the patronage of a very wealthy wholesale grocer by the name of Sandy McDonald. And he, for example, bought her a 250-acre farm just outside of Winnipeg in the arm of Rosser and a 10-acre lot in West Kildonan, where she had this enormous orphanage complex. Well, unfortunately, in 1927, there were numerous allegations of child abuse levied at her, and Mrs. Crouch decamped to British Columbia, where she set up another orphanage, and the one here in Winnipeg was closed.
Are there any orphanages still operating today?
Well, you know, in a manner of speaking, sort of. So in 1907, a facility called the Knowles Home for Boys was founded. Basically, what happened was that a railway clerk by the name of Wilford Knowles took pity on an orphaned boy that he found begging on the streets. He took the boy home, he fed him, he clothed him, he let them sleep. And, you know, the word of his kindness spread. And soon he had several other boys in his care. And it was just becoming too much. So he appealed to friends for help. And in December of 1907, he opened a facility to provide accommodation and meals for other abandoned and orphaned boys, basically ones between the ages of 11 and 16, you know, ones that might fall through the cracks of other facilities. Well, eventually, Knowles quit his railway job to focus on the facility, and it became formally incorporated in 1908. Now, by 1922, it had 75 boys in residence. And gradually over time, its focus shifted away from abandoned and orphaned boys to ones with sort of emotional and behavioral issues. And it's still operating today as the Knowles Center. But of course, it's not, strictly speaking, an orphanage anymore.
What happened to orphanages then?
Well, you know, in past episodes of this series, we've talked about various abandoned cultural practices. And I think this applies to orphanages. So after the Second World War, you know, in the late 1940s, it became increasingly aware to people that they needed to have greater consistency in the handling of orphan children. There needed to be greater public responsibility. So gradually, the care of orphans transferred to the provincial government. You know, and initially, I suppose, they continued with the traditional sort of bricks and mortar approach, where they would sort of sequester the orphans in orphanages. But gradually, they began to realize that the best way to deal with these children wasn't something more resembling a sort of a family-like environment. And so they move towards the system we have today, which is the foster home approach. Basically, where children are put with a group of people. There could be a couple of adults, a mother and a father figure, perhaps other children. And it's felt that this gives the child a better adaptation to life, and it means that they have a more productive life in the long run. So that's pretty much the model we use today.
Gordon, thank you for this overview. What's the clue for next week?
Well, you know, a lot of people, including a lot of our faithful listeners, know about my passion for the strange and interesting places. And, you know, occasionally I hear wild stories that prove to be true. So next week, I'm going to talk about a secret scientific laboratory that was built deep in the ground under a prominent Winnipeg building over 100 years ago.
I like it, Gordon. Thank you so much for this.
We'll talk next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.